Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 104. My name is John Morgan, sitting here in Los Angeles, California. Just going to kick it off. Not the most fanciest place you've ever been. I'm at the Hampton Inn LAX. That's right, the Hampton Inn LAX. As I look out the window of my beautiful suite here, suite 231, I see a McDonald's. I see, what's this property called? Tough to even tell. It's looking like a no-tell, motel, Holiday Inn type situation across the street. I was told by my Uber driver that this used to be a very strong prostitution neighborhood. But that's what we're doing. I'm in Los Angeles because I came to town for some meetings with USA Today Sports. Big meetings. Can't go into the details just yet, unfortunately. But I got to say, there's some big things working. Some fun stuff happening behind the scenes. I can say that the big junkie himself, Mr. Dan Stop, also in town. Now, he declined to join me this evening. He's got to, he basically got some assignments. We've got to go back in the morning, actually. And we've kind of got some assignments, some issues that we came to, some roadblocks that we came to, some challenges that we came to, some opportunities that we came to where we've got to have some answers. And we got to have some, hey, you work for a big corporation like that. They come to you and they say, here's what we need from you. And, Mr. Dan Stubb, being the professional that he is, he goes back to his room and he says, let me retire, John Morgan. I've got some things to come up with. I've got some plans that I have to arrange before the morning. I need to get those done. But me, I was like, do what you got to do, Dan Stubb. I need to talk to my folks at the roadshow. So that's what we're doing. All right, Cold Coffee is not with me. Cold Coffee is back home in Las Vegas. But I'm just going to tease it out there. He's going to be joining us shortly in a special little segment. So stay tuned for that. Okay, let's just jump right into it. Big week for me. For those that are roadshow faithfuls, you'll know that my wife and my son have been gone in Mexico for 7 months. 7 months. My 4-year-old son and my wife have been gone that long. Basically, the week they left was, if you need to put in context, what 7 months feels like, we're talking about the week of the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz rematch. So think back about that in your heads. And since that time, I haven't had my wife and kid with me. They've been in Mexico. My wife was born and raised in Mexico. Just quick history, if you don't know me, my wife was born and raised in Mexico until she was 24. Then she moved to the United States, and then that's when we met and started dating and got married. And this is my kid's last year of preschool, and we decided, you know what? What a cool way for our son to connect to your Mexican heritage, Mom, and to also learn Spanish and to get maybe a leg up on his peers and to be bilingual going in. And they've been gone for 7 months, and they came back this week. And, man, I took a couple days off. I'm not going to lie. I quit answering my phone. There are people in the MMA industry that are annoyed and pissed with me right now because I quit answering my phone. There were no WhatsApp messages going back. There were no text messages going back, no emails, no phone calls being answered because I wanted to spend some time with those two, having them back in town. So a huge, huge week for me. And, dude, I'm not going to lie, my little kid, I don't know, any of you their parents, man, there's nothing better than seeing your kid happy about something. But my kid came back speaking more Spanish than English. It's crazy. There was one moment that my kid just walked up to me and was like, "Papi," and just rattled off a big Spanish sentence. And my wife looked straight at me and she was like, "You don't understand what he just said, did you?" And I'm like, "I got no pride. Nope." I have no idea what he just said at me. But man, dude, that makes me so hyped to know that my kid, who celebrates his 5th birthday on May 12th, man, already has, you know, a big portion of another language under his belt. Man, dude, that just hypes me up so much. So, but I am super happy to have them back. So my life took a change. So I'm not going to lie. I took a couple days off this week. And, it was kind of a slow week for the MMA universe. So it made sense that I got a couple of days off. But, man, it just made if you hit me up on Twitter or anything like that and I didn't answer you back, please take no offense. I had to disconnect for a little bit and spend some time with my family and honestly get readjusted dude, I've been living like a bachelor for 7 months in Las Vegas. And I had to clean the house up so I wasn't quite so embarrassed with the way I was living as a human being. And, yeah, it's good. It's good to have them back. But had to fly out this morning, Thursday, as we always do, sit down to record this on Thursday. And I had to fly out this morning, early Thursday morning, to come meet with the big bosses at USA Today. And I tell you, can't share everything right now. You know I keep it real here. You guys are friends and family here on the Roadshow. We always keep it real. But got some things that, you know, I got to keep tight to the belt. But I sure as hell wasn't going to forget about you. So I had to sit down. Did take a quick Uber out around the corner to, I believe it was, well, we tried to go to CVS. That didn't work out. And I think I went to Frank's or Rich's, I don't know, supermarket. Grabbed a couple of award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbons, established in Milwaukee in 1844. And now I'm sitting down with you to talk some MMA. Hey, listen, made it back from London. I did want to give a shout-out. Before we get too deep into this, a shout-out to Ollie and Jamie, two dudes that I met on the street corner in London. This is fantastic. This is a great story. If you guys, hopefully you guys caught this video that we did. Team Europe did this sick video. I'm sure you saw at UFC Fight Night 107, UFC London, the host hotel fire alarm went off. And, you know, everybody was evacuated outside. And we put together a fun little video, man. Abby Subban was on the shoot and on the edit. Shamat Kaur Sandhu was the talent on camera. You know, Simon Head was running around getting some recon, and it was a lot of fun, man. It was crazy to see the whole fight card out there. John Kavanaugh, who had had a frosty beverage or two, he was roadshow ready. John Kavanaugh was roadshow ready. There's no doubt about that. He was the MVP of the whole thing. Mark Diakese did great as well. He was fantastic. But anyway, so the whole it's crazy. So we're all standing outside. It's kind of cold outside. The whole host hotel is outside. And these cats, Ollie and Jamie, they walk up and they're like, John Morgan, what's going on? And we just start talking. Like, we just start talking some MMA. And I'm like, so you guys are staying right here? And they're like, no, we're not staying here. I'm like, well, what do you mean? These dudes just, like, had an inkling of an idea that people might be hanging out around the Canary Wharf area. And they just go down there and they hang out. And they happen to literally walk up on the host hotel, having no idea it's the host hotel. Walk up on the host hotel as it's being evacuated, and they get to, like, hang out with everybody sitting outside. So, I mean, I thought that was, like, the best story ever, and good on them to be a little adventurous, man. That's what you got to do. When you're on the road, you got to be adventurous. That's what the road show teaches you, right? I mean, when you're out there, take a chance. Go do what you got to do, man. You never know what you're going to run into. So, had to give a shout-out to Ollie and Jamie, man. Cool cats that I met in London. MMA road show fans. Always love to hear that, man. Seriously, there is nothing that makes my day better than, dude, I love the podcast. Like, seriously, what? You guys listen to me sit here and ramble about some dumb stuff? Like, that's amazing. It's one thing if you read MMA Junkie, because of course you should read MMA Junkie. It's the best damn website on the planet. And it's going to get better because we're having meetings in USA Today. We're going to make even better changes. But, man, to hear that, like, something that I consider, like, so personal, whatever, man, that means a lot. So just want to give a shout-out to those two cats. All right, here's something weird. I don't know if this may not sound weird to you guys, but this is episode number 104. Not and a half. But we'll get to one of those. Won't be this one this week. But I thought it was weird because I don't know why. It was sticking in my head. I'm like, 104 in Los Angeles, 104 in Los Angeles. Why does that bother me? UFC 104 was in Los Angeles, right down the street, right? Staples Center, October 2009, 7+ years ago. Seems like yesterday. It was so weird. I don't know why. I was thinking about the podcast today, what we were going to record. I was talking to Cole Coffee about what we could put in there. What can we do because we're not together? How can we make this whole thing work? Because we don't ever want to mail it in. Me and Cole Coffee, well, Cole Coffee will mail it in. I'm not going to lie. Cole Coffee will mail it in. I will not mail it in with you cats. And I didn't want to do that. So I was thinking about it. And it was going through my head. 104 in Los Angeles. 104 in Los Angeles. UFC 104 in Los Angeles. October 2009. How about a little trip down memory lane? As long as we're here. All right? Lyoto Machida. Razor thin win over Shogun Hua. You guys remember that one? You remember how you scored it? I had to think about it. I think. And I had to go back. And this is so weird. It's been so long, 7.5 years ago. I actually pulled up the MMA Junkie play-by-play. I was here. I know I was here. I know I was on site. I had to pull up the play-by-play, and I looked at it. I'm not even sure that was me typing it. I read the words. And usually I know if it's me or not, and I'm not even sure it was me typing it. I don't remember who else was here. It might have been me and Dan Stubb, but I'm not even sure. I'm honestly not even sure. I think maybe it was Dan Stubb. So I was trying to go back and remember. So I looked at the official MMA junkie card. The official MMA junkie card had it for Shogun Hua. I'm not even sure if that was me or not that gave it that score. I'm not sure. That was just a crazy fight, man. It was such a close fight. Such a close fight. I tell you what I do remember from that night, though. Remember Pat Barry picking up the double bonus for the finish that night? Picking up the $100,000 in bonus money. And I remember the stories that came out afterwards that he was eating rice and ketchup in the lead up to that fight. He was so out of money and so poor and so, just short on funds that he was eating rice and ketchup to survive before that night. And he picked up the finish and got $100,000. Anthony Hardunk, $50,000 for fight of the night, $50,000 for knockout of the night. Man, I guess you can argue the one side of it, like, oh my God, the fighters should be paid more. Why should they be living on rice and ketchup? And you're right. I mean, that's a fair argument to have. But I just love stories like that. Here's a dude that was like struggling to make ends meet, and then in one night cashes a check for $100,000. I mean, cool shit. Very cool shit. I also remember Cain Velasquez finishing up Ben Rothwell. You guys remember that one? I mean, obviously Cain Velasquez, stud, that was on his run to the title, finished Ben Rothwell. But I remember because it was weird. Like, he was beating Ben Rothwell, and it seemed like an inevitable finish. But now, again, challenge my memory. I've been in meetings all day long, so I didn't have time to fact check myself. But as I recall, Steve Mazzagatti was the referee. And Ben Rothwell is kind of scrambling to his feet at the moment the fight was waved off. So, yes, it seemed fair that the fight was waved off, but Mazzagatti, poor Steve Mazzagatti. They used to just get booed so bad every time he was in the cage. But, basically waved it off at the moment that Ben Rothwell was getting back to his feet after being kind of punched on the ground. And it just seemed like such an unfortunate timing to what seemed like a fair stoppage. So bizarre. But the one that I'll definitely, man, and you don't have to fact check me on this one because I can remember it clear as day. Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson missing weight. Anthony Rumble Johnson, who fights at UFC 210 in just a couple weeks for the UFC light heavyweight title, coming in for his welterweight fight, weighing in at 176 pounds. And I'll never the reason I'll never forget is that the weigh-in was in such a weird area. There was this place called, and it's still there, I mean, in some form or fashion, but, LA Live is what the whole, like, entertainment district around Staples Center is called. And I can't remember what they called this venue, but it was essentially like a big-ass tent on top of a parking structure, like a 9-story parking structure. And it may still be there. LA residents may be able to recall. And I think they called it like the Party Pavilion at LA Live or something like that. But it's essentially just a big ass tent, a nice tent, but still just a tent sitting on the 9th floor of this parking structure. And it happened to be a warm day, even though it was October of 2009. It happened to be a warm October day, not one of those beautiful October days. And I remember the day getting warmer as it went on. And I just remember Anthony Johnson being essentially like carried, around there. It looked like he was ready to pass out, not healthy under any circumstances whatsoever. Being essentially basically drugged. I don't even think his feet, it was like Weekend at Bernie's carrying him to the scale. You know what I mean? Maybe the feet were working underneath that as he had his arms around people. I think one at the time was Ken Pavia. How about a blast from the past there, man? Ken Pavia, a guy that honestly, man, was incredibly helpful to us in the early days of MMA Junkie, man. Was always a good dude to us. I know, I guess he was like a precursor to Malki Kawa or Ali Abdelaziz. I mean, he was one of the controversial managers back in the day. Man, just old school, dude. Just kind of a run down memory lane. But I remember Anthony Johnson looking incredibly unhealthy and course, missed weight. And as I recall, and I think we've talked about this on a previous episode before, I believe that was the night that, or at least that was the event that Dana White said, listen, if you miss weight, you're not eligible for bonuses. Because, of course, Anthony Johnson had an incredible knockout win that night, but he was not eligible for the $50,000 knockout bonus, which helped Pat Barry out quite a bit. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird. A little, a little run down memory lane. UFC 104 in Los Angeles. The MMA Roadshow with John Morgan, episode number 104 in Los Angeles. So, funny how it all works out. All right. Listen, L.A., now the home to Bellator. I got to say, Thursday night, we're actually going to be we've got a meeting set up with a couple of those cats from Bellator tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to catching up with some of the Bellator staff. Again, Dan Stupp is out here. Simon Simano, you might have seen his bylines on the MMA Junkie website. If you haven't paid attention, he's a new addition to our staff, and he's a cool cat. He lives out here in Southern California as well. I think he'll probably be there for that lunch meeting as well. And we'll be talking to some Bellator staff. And, man, what a week that they have had. Bellator 180 / Bellator NYC. It's going to be labeled as two different events. Man, what a card that is for them, right? What a card that is for them. Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva, if you're a Roadshow listener, you know we talked about it before the Tito fight ever happened. We knew Chael Wanderlei was going to happen regardless, right? It was a free pass for Chael. Win or lose, you're getting Wanderlei. Period. You're getting Wanderlei. It's going to happen. And now it's going to happen on pay-per-view. Didn't see that move being made. Really did not see them making the move to pay-per-view. But, I mean, God, how crazy is this? You know, with the Fortaleza events of Vitor Belfort talking about a Legends League and how people would pay for the big names. And, man, Ben Folks wrote a great column about, you know, the fact that this has been very beneficial to organizations to promote these big names, these quote-unquote Legends names. But will it work when we need you to pay money for it? I don't know. Then you got Fedor Emelianenko in there versus Matt Mitrione. A fight that me and Cole Coffey went to cover in San Jose. And, of course, you know, if you're listening to this, you're a hardcore, you don't need me to fill you in. You know what happened there. The Matt Mitrione health issues forced the fight off. Fortunately, I didn't – maybe you guys – I didn't see anybody, which shocks me almost, with their tinfoil hat on, saying that Bellator planned this all along, that they pushed this fight off, you know, they forced Matt Mitrione. I bet somebody on Twitter said that this was some kind of purposeful thing. But Fedor Emelianenko versus Matt Mitrione. Now, here's what I find interesting. These fights mean a lot. They do. And they're the right fights for pay-per-view. These are names that people recognize. Now, will they pay for them? I don't know. But then you have Michael Chandler putting his title on the line. Douglas Lima putting his title on the line. And, of course, Douglas Lima gets the added benefit of Lorenz Larkin coming in and, you know, the high-profile UFC free agent coming in. But I don't know, man. If I'm sitting in the UFC office, and I'm sure I'll have this discussion with UFC, with Bellator officials tomorrow morning at lunch, if I'm sitting in a Bellator office, I probably make the same decision. I probably make the same decision, right? If you have Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva, or you have Douglas Lima versus Lorenz Larkin, and one of those has to be your main event, and it has to be broadcast, you know, out to the common folk and marketed to the general public, you go with Chael versus Wanderlei, right? I mean, that's your main event. But how weird does it seem that we have two non-title fights as the main and co-main, and then two title fights on the main card underneath it? It's this internal battle, man. It's this internal battle that we're having right now. Is it sport? Is it entertainment? We know it's both. It's sporting entertainment, right? It's both. But I'm sitting here battling. I'm having a conversation by myself. I can't even ask Cold Coffee what he thinks about it. I'm sitting here talking to myself. And I think it's the right call. I think Chael and Wanderlei is the right call. If I'm Bellator, it's the right call. But is it the right call? Is it the right call? Is it the fair call? Do Chael and Wanderlei deserve to headline over Michael Chandler? Over Douglas Lima? Over champions of your organization? I don't want to say, you know, I'm one of those purists. I'm a purist. That sounds stupid, right? I mean, there's money involved in here. This is a business. WME, IMG, and the UFC, they spent $4 billion. They're trying to make their money back, right? Viacom, they got their money. And Bellator, they're all trying to make money. At the end of the day, we're all trying to make money, right? We're all trying to take money. If people said, you know, to you and your job, like, listen, man, what I need you to do is, I mean, you should honestly probably, like, the way you should handle yourself is do this. Now, you're probably going to make about 30% less this year on your salary, but morally, you're doing the right thing. Dude, I don't care what job you have. Are you going to do that? Yeah, I'll take, you know what, man? I'll take a decrease in my salary to make sure I'm doing morally the right thing, because I know the fans of the auto insurance agency will feel like I'm doing the right thing. Like, what? No way. I don't know, man. I think it's so intriguing. I think it's so interesting. I think it's a big week for Bellator, and I see this thing come together, and I'm like, dude, they're doing the right thing. But are they doing the right thing? I don't know. I look forward to hearing from you guys what you think about it. Now, Bellator has other things going on. I'll talk to those guys tomorrow morning, and we'll share with you next week what they had to say on the MMA Roadshow once I get cold coffee back in the building. Now, Bellator 175, that also is happening next week. By the way, we will have people on site, no doubt about it. Matt Erickson lives in the Chicago area. He will be heading out to Rosemont. I believe it's Rosemont, Illinois. By the way, if anybody tells you that Rosemont, Illinois is Chicago, they're a damn liar. It's like an hour and a half outside of town. It's not Chicago. So if they broadcast it to you as Chicago, know that they're lying. But Matt Erickson will be covering that on site. So we'll have video. We'll have pictures. We'll have interviews. We'll have everything. You know how we do it, MMA Junkie. But this week, while I was off, while I was enjoying some time with my wife and kid, they had a quite spirited conference call. Quentin Rampage Jackson Muhammad, King Mo Lawal, they're doing the rematch at Bellator 175 in a heavyweight fight that apparently Rampage thought was a catchweight fight. It's actually going to be a heavyweight fight. They had quite a lengthy conference call. Wanted to bring you a little touch of the audio. I boiled it down to a little bit. I had to go back and listen to it because, of course, I wanted to hear what was going on. I boiled it down to some little bits and pieces. And I think you will enjoy some of these bits and pieces that I boiled it down to. So understand it's a little bit edited. Cut it a little bit short, but I think you'll like it. And I think what you'll really love is the way that it ends. Because it ends in the way that only the magnificent one, Stephen Morocco, could bring.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bellator press conference. I will now turn the call over to Bellator's president, Scott Coker.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us on today's conference call featuring the main event competitors of Bellator 175, Quentin Rampage Jackson and King Mo Lawal, which takes place next Friday, March 3rd, 31st at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, and which airs live on Spike TV at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. You know, it's been a big year for Bellator so far. We're excited about this fight. This is a fight that I've been personally looking forward to for a long time to make this rematch happen. You know, there's a lot of exciting things ahead for 2017. But let's turn it over at this time to the stars of the show, and that's Rampage Jackson and King Lawal. Thanks, guys.
Our first question comes from Steve Juwan with MMA Mania. Your line is live.
Thank you, operator. I have one question for everyone on the line, starting with Rampage. You said that you and King Mo had an argument in the back of a van after your first fight. What was that argument, and why did it make you so mad?
The argument in the van was way before me and King Mo even fought.
All right. What was it about?
It was so long ago, I don't even remember.
But you remember it made you mad, and you want to beat his ass, right?
Right. That's all I remember.
Okay, well, what's your plan on March 31st? How are you going to enact that vision?
My plan is to beat his ass.
All right, we'll just leave it at that then. King Mo, I'm going to go to you. We've talked about your fight previously, and you said that you weren't really disappointed in yourself. You were disappointed in the judges. What can you do differently this time to make sure that's not disappointing?
Oh, man, for this fight right here, I'm going to be healthy. I'll be the American top team for about 2 years now, because last time I was just new to the gym, the new host training situation. But, man, I'm ready to go, man. All that talking and stuff in the past is done, man. You know what I'm saying? It's time to rumble, you know what I'm saying? So next Friday, it's going to go down.
Our next question comes from Danny Segura. Your line is live.
Hi, thank you. My first question is going to be for King Mo. King Mo, the last time you fought Rampage, you talked to MMA Fighting and you told them about how the canvas was very slippery and that was a factor in sort of planting your feet and landing strikes. Did you ever address that issue with Bellator, and is that something you addressed leading to the rematch?
Oh, man, the canvas been changed. Under the old Bjorn regime, the canvas was that cheap blue velvet, you know what I'm saying? So people were slipping. Then they tried to change it up a little bit. And I remember when I fought Len Vassell, I was ice skating all over the canvas. I was straight ice skating. But now they changed it up, you know what I'm saying? So you don't see no one slipping or falling. So it's going to be, you're going to see the best of me and Quentin.
Man, on the 31st, King Mo was slipping to the ass whooping. That canvas one slipping, man. I fought that canvas several times. I ain't slipped not one.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny though, Quinn, because my boy put up a thing talking about how you want to change the canvas. I can post it for you, because my boy, everybody can play with that blue canvas. Everybody did. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? To give you a little credit, you might be right, because I got a bad memory. But you still gonna sleep up on the ass whooping on the 31st.
Yeah, we gonna see, man. But you one thing you gonna enjoy is the Chicago Style Pizza, because we know like you like to eat. And hopefully you can get that sponsorship by Flat Tummy Tea. Because I've seen videos, man, you're kind of old and you're kind of fat. You know what I'm saying? We're kind of fat still. Flat Tummy Tea to do some work.
King Mo, I'm glad you think I'm fat, homie. I'm glad that's what you're thinking about me, man.
But I know you are, man. That's why you didn't take a fight 205. That's why you took a fight 205. You took it at heavyweight, player.
I know what it is.
You took it at heavyweight.
You mad. Listen, you mad. Listen, I told Scott Coker I wanted to go heavyweight, all right? They want me to fight you at catch weight. If you mad about my weight, you shouldn't have took this fight. I'm going to put all...
No. I don't care about weight.
When the night I'm going to be weighing 260 on the night we...
That's cool. That's great. I don't care about weight. I chose to fight anyway. I'm cool with that. I didn't know I was fighting. They said 235 anyway. It's cool, but listen, you let yourself go. You fell off. You let yourself go. You fell off, man. You let yourself go. I see you look how fat and sloppy. You're looking old, man.
You still mad I asked you about those nipple rings, man. That's why you try to fat shame me, huh? You still mad about those nipple rings, ain't you, homie? That's what it
you
is.
Don't
huh?
doubt. You need new material. That's what you need. Let me guess. The Quentin Star package.
No,
oh, your broomstick. Oh, you're ugly. I don't need new material, dog. Quentin, you've been saying the same stuff for 7 years, dog. You need new material.
I know.
Listen, brother, you need a ghostwriter.
It's been 7 years.
Hey. You need a ghostwriter. You need a ghostwriter. You need a ghostwriter, dog. You need a ghostwriter, man. You're corny. You're lame, dog. Even in Memphis, I was in Memphis, hey, this motherfucking thing is, I was in Memphis 7 months ago. I was in your own city 7 months ago, got love. You only get love in your own city, dog. Memphis, I was in Memphis 7 months ago, got more love than you do. I was in your own city, dog. They don't talk about you out there, man. They don't go back.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You're a ghostwriter, dog. You're lame, you're corny, dog. You're looking old, dog. You're looking old, too, dog.
I'm going to tell you something.
Listen,
let me tell
coming
you something.
31st is definitely going down, man. That's what it is. Next question.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the type of guy. I don't fight for love from other dudes, man. I fight to feed my family and put my kids through college. You may fight so you can get a lot of attention from dudes and shit. That's probably why you got those nipple rings.
Pardon me, our next question. I don't care if guys in my city don't talk about me.
I don't care if guys don't love me. I don't care. I don't fight for the love of dudes, homie. How many times I got to say it? You can fight. That's what you fight for, and that's probably why you ain't that good. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, and guess what? You said lose to a guy that ain't that good on the 31st. I fight at money weight. That's the reason why I said money weight, because I'm fighting your fat ass at heavyweight.
Okay.
You ain't fight. Hey, guess what? You ain't fighting me at heavyweight. You fighting me at catchweight.
No, heavyweight, player. Ain't no catchweight here. It's a heavyweight, dog. 265 is the weight class. Heavyweight. I don't do no catchweight.
Oh, wait.
I don't do no catchweight.
I can weigh 265. That's what you're telling me?
Yes, you can. Ain't no catchweight. I ain't no hoe. I fight. I don't do no weight catchweight. No. Hell no.
I was told to fight with that catchweight. No.
Hey, no, Quentin. You can be as heavy as you want. Ain't no catchweight. I promise you on that. I would never do a catchweight. That's weak shit right there. I'll fight you at your weight. You know what I'm saying?
Catchweight.
No, never. Never. You can fight. Never.
I wanted to fight a heavyweight because, I'm a big boy, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you.
The fight's a heavyweight. The fight is a heavyweight, not 235, not two. No catchweight. I don't do catchweights. Never.
All right. Well, you're going to catch this weight on your face. Hey, guys, we can tell weight don't matter to King Mo. Look at his girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? We can tell. He don't give a fuck about weight. Listen. King Mo want to talk about my weight, and he think that hurts my feelings and stuff like that. It ain't no secret. I'm older now. I'm an older fighter, and I have a thyroid problem that, you know what I'm saying, it's hard for me to lose weight. I'm on medication, but what I did was I addressed the problem. I went and saw a specialist, and I talked to my coaches, and we decided to go heavyweight and lift weights, get stronger, get bigger. And so King Mo can fat shame me and stuff all he want. I didn't ask to fight King Mo. I wanted to fight a heavyweight because I'm a bigger guy now. I left King Mo in the past. I figured I wanted to knock him out. I wanted to rematch. But I felt like, you know what? Fighting King Mo again, it ain't gonna be nothing but a wrestling match. And, you know, why I want to do that when I'm a striker? I like putting on exciting fights. I like, you know, being exciting. That's why, you know what I'm saying, my career has went towards the way it's went. Because I come to fight, you know what I'm saying? I come to fight. So I don't care what King Mo say about my weight or what anybody say. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing Bellator a favor by giving him a rematch with King Mo. And he had a problem dealing with me at 205, and he's going to have a problem dealing with me at 260 in shape.
wait, what shape is that? Circular? That's about it, y'all. Yeah. Come on, man. You play yourself. That's about it. That's cool. As long as you listen, as long as you happy, man, that's all that matters to me. As long as you happy and you're ready to go, I'm cool with that. Yeah, go to the next question.
Our next question comes from Steve Morocco. Your line is live.
Hey, Quinn. One of the things King Mo told us on our show the other day was that you wanted to fight Krokop or Fedor before this fight ended up getting made. Is that true?
No, I never asked to fight any names. I've never asked to fight names in my career. Only names I asked to fight, like, I want to rematches with, you know what I'm saying, people like Shogun and you know, John Jones and Rashad Evans. Those names I've said in my career. I never said any names. I just told Bellator I wanted to fight like a heavyweight guy that strikes. I'm tired of fighting huggers and humpers, man.
I gotcha. And then one thing I wanted to clarify real quick, you mentioned the underactive thyroid. Is that in any way related to the TRT treatment that you did about 4 or 5 years back?
Hey, how in the fuck will thyroid be affected by doing testosterone, something that your body produces? All our body produces testosterone. Most likely, thyroid is family related. It's, you know, it runs in your family. How in the fuck would replenishing your body with something that's natural that your body normally produce, but as you get older and become an athlete and use up, your body has to make more? How would that fuck up your thyroid, you stupid ass motherfucker? The fuck off my motherfucking phone, you bitch ass motherfucker.
And with that, we'll go to the next question.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was the always entertaining Quentin Rampage Jackson and Muhammad King Mo Lawal. God bless. We'll see how the fight turns out. Man, I mean, I guess we could talk about it a little bit next week. But, like, I want to believe Rampage, right? I mean, like, if Rampage is being honest and saying, like, listen, man, I just finally realized, like, I'm getting too old and had to deal with this thyroid issue and I'm a heavyweight, and so I'm training as a heavyweight. I'm not worrying about weight cut anymore. That's helping me out. I mean, that could be pretty promising, right? I mean, we all love the power of Rampage. But if he's just being lazy and he's using it as an excuse and... Yeah, I mean, does he mean it or does he not? Is it a front? He's a master salesman. I mean, he's been doing this game forever. He knows how to promote. Is he selling us something or is he being legit? I mean, think about it. I mean, like, if Rampage comes in, he's a legit. Now, he's, you know, he's kind of messing around, 260, but, like, I mean, what if Rampage came in like a chiseled 235? Not worrying about cutting, but in shape, muscular, you know, powerful 235. Like, damn, that's a scary prospect. And that could be a lot of fun to watch for, like, multiple fights against multiple opponents, against all those people he's talking about, the strikers and the bangers that he wants to step out there with, right? But, dude, if he comes out there and it's unspirited, man, it doesn't seem like his heart's in it. I mean, do you put those matchups together still? I mean, we said straight up, Chael's going to fight Vanderlei no matter what happens against Tito, and it didn't work out, and he didn't look good in that fight. And, of course, now he's headlining a pay-per-view. So I guess you could keep doing the same thing with Rampage, but I just don't know what the interest is there. So I don't know. It's incredibly interesting. So, all right, well, listen, I mentioned that we were going to bring in Cold Coffee. So here's the thing. While I was getting reacquainted with my wife and son, he was hanging back in town after his vacation where he'd been chilling in London, just hanging out while the rest of us were working, seeing the sights, and, oh, man. By the way, speaking of London, man, not to get all, you know me, man, I'm not trying to get too political or whatever, but, man, how about all the shit that went down in London, right? Literally, like, right there on the spots that people were, like, hanging out at. I mean, you saw all the people from the UFC that were chilling in those areas. And this just happened a couple days later. So, man, right here. Hear that? Knock on wood. That was me knocking on wood, man. Thank God nothing happened to anybody, man. It's just crazy to be in a town and a couple days later something crazy like that happens. So, anyway, again, not to get too serious about stuff, but it did kind of strike me. But while I was hanging out with my wife and kid, taking a couple days off, Cold Coffee was working. Now, I know that shocks you. I was taking off and Cold Coffee was working. Usually it's definitely the other way around. But this is how it was happening. Cold Coffee was in his hometown, our hometown of Las Vegas. He went to the hearings where Conor McGregor, shocker, had his fine reduced. All of a sudden, everybody wants to work with him on a cusp of a potential multi-$100 million fight with Floyd Mayweather. Now the NSAC wants to make good with Conor McGregor. Jeez, never saw it coming. Never, ever, ever saw it coming. But listen, Cold Coffee's there. I was not there. I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen this video yet. I have done nothing. I literally unplugged for a couple days. Man, just welcomed my little son back into my life, hugged him, played with him, just chilled with him, man, the way you do. Anybody that's a dad, I know, man. Imagine being without your kid for 7 months and imagine how those 2 days went. And imagine being without your wife for 7 months and imagine how those 2 days went. but that's a whole different situation. So, yes, I've been busy for 48 hours. But, meanwhile, Cold Coffee was in the courtroom. So, you know I've teased out there. If you're a listener, you know I teased out there. How about a little all coffee, no cream? It never happens. It never happens. I have yet 104 weeks in a row. 2 years, my friends. Two straight years. 104 weeks. I have not missed a single episode. Cold Coffee, he's missed an episode or two. He's missed an episode. But here is a step in the right direction. I said, listen, man, give me a segment. Give me a segment. Let me throw it to you, and you give me a little update as to what happened. And here's what he came up with.
Now, while John might be right that I missed an episode, in person, I've never actually missed an episode because I've edited every single one. But he's right. I have missed some episodes, so I'm going to make it up to you. And now, for the rest of this episode, I'm going to call it all coffee and no cream. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that because you'd never come back. So like John had talked about, we had the Nevada State Athletic Commission that came here in town when it come here. It is here in town. In fact, I just saw on the website they're actually moving locations. Shortly, they're going to be even closer to my house, so I can then wake up even later and make it in time to the commission hearing even later than I got up this last time. I'm not saying I forgot and like sat down and started having coffee and then saw the reminder on my computer pop up and then went to the hearing. That didn't happen. I'm just speaking in hypothetical terms. But say that did happen. when I got to the hearing, you know, it's funny because they switched some things up. Normally, you could get there early, you get all set up, and you can kind of wait out the time. This time, they didn't let us into the room until 8:45. And granted, the hearing's supposed to start at 9. So, you know, for us techie guys and production guys, you know, you always get a little bit nervous of what the setup's going to be like if you can't get in there and do this sort of thing. So, the fact I couldn't get in there until 15 minutes out, I was a little bit worried. But granted, we got the shit done. We get in there, we saw, Connor's lawyer, Jennifer, was in there. It wasn't too much else of a crowd. There was a couple of local media outlets that showed up, as well as, Heidi Fang with Review Journal, and Adam Hill was in there, and, Scott Peterson from MMA Weekly, I believe, is, who Scott's with. But, it was interesting. It was interesting. But, you know, we've been in these things before where, you know, we get there and agreements are already set and done. We never get to hear anything. And they just kind of say, oh, okay, you guys want to agree? You guys good at this agreement? And if you are, say yes. And then us as the public and the media never get to hear it until after the fact. It's a little disconcerting. But, regardless, I digress. Sorry, my allergies have been like brutal all day long. So right now I feel like my voice is a little bit out of it, as well as if you'd see me right now, I'm not quite as sexy as I normally am. Got some big bags underneath my eyes. But regardless, back to what I was talking about. It was interesting. So as this hearing goes on, you hear Bennett come out, and it was just a totally different tone. Excuse me, than you normally would. Normally these guys bully and sort of browbeat the fighters, you know, and kind of have this we're better than you sort of mentality. But they immediately were coming in sort of saying how, you know, Connor's been doing all the right things. He's been saying the right things. And, you know, we feel that, you know, we were wrong. Well, I guess they didn't really say they felt they were wrong, but it was just weird to hear this different line of them sort of talking about, you know, all these talks that they had, and now we should change because maybe we were too heavy-handed, which they've never said before. So it was interesting to see that. So, you know, the whole meeting happens, and I'm sure you guys saw it on MMA Junkie. I put pretty much the whole archive up there, and you see it all happen. But then we had a moment after we had the hearing to where we got a chance to talk to the chairman, Anthony Marnell, and we also got to talk to the executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, Bob Bennett. First, what I'm going to roll for you is the Anthony Marnell interview that happened, and he kind of explains a little bit the decision and what they were going for. You know, it wasn't because they want Connor to fight in Vegas for that big old Mayweather fight, because everybody knows that the commission makes their money off of the fights. So the bigger the fight, the bigger the purse, the bigger the money that they get. So it would definitely be in their best interest to allow that fight or want that fight to happen there. They swear that that's not the case, that's not the issue, but who knows? But let's go ahead and hop in here. Let's listen to Anthony Marnell, and then maybe we'll hear from our dear friend Fiasco Jones and his wonderful Shmooga, and then that'll key you into the fact that we're switching over to the executive director, Bob Bennett's interview after the fact, discussing his take on the matter. And then I'm going to hand it back off to John. So thanks for listening, guys. Sorry, I would talk some more, but my voice is killing me. This allergies, this shit's real. And hope you enjoyed this tease of all coffee and very little cream.
You know, you all were here for the last hearing and what happened. And, you know, I think as time went on and there was some reflection on all parties' parts, so they reached out and wanted to sit down and have a conversation, which, you know, that's not an uncommon thing at the Nevada Athletic Commission. I think you don't really hear about a lot of that. But we have a lot of discussions with fighters that are not in this room on all kinds of issues. So he requested that. We, of course, our door is open to any fighter who wants to meet with us about anything. That's our job. So he made the trip to come over here, and we sat down. We had a very productive meeting. I think that there were some things that I, as the Nevada State Athletic Commission chairman, looked at that I thought we should have done different. I thought we could have done better. And he pointed out some things, I think, on his part that he felt he could do better. And I think that a rehearing was the exact correct action here, based on how the last meeting, the last decision was made. And so that's how we got to this point. I don't have the authority to grant the rehearing. I only have the authority to put it on the agenda. And I think today was pretty obvious that I think a lot of the commissioners felt the same way, that the last hearing was not where I thought we should be or where they thought we should be. So you saw what happened here today, and that's really how we got here.
You weren't on the phone with him last night. You just heard about what that conversation went like, correct?
Last night, what about?
There was a conversation that was talked about how he was very apologetic on the phone. You weren't on the line for that conversation, correct?
The last meeting, I think he's talking about.
I have no idea.
I think he means at the original hearing.
Oh, that's the original hearing 4 months ago, not last night. There were no conversations last night that I'm aware of.
Okay, so he was on the phone today. Is there a reason he didn't speak, or are you
surprised? I think if we have a settlement agreement, if you've noticed the direction of the commission in the last 6 months has been, if we have a settlement agreement between both parties, where both attorneys are representing that their clients, the Nevada State Athletic Commission and Fighter A, are in agreement with that, then there's no reason to have a big public display of affection and give you all a great report to go write. So that's the kind of the direction of my chairmanship, is to calm things down. We don't need 3-hour meetings. These are not trials. Nobody killed anybody. And there's no reason to go through these big, huge beratements of fighters for any reason. If the two parties agree, if it's within the regs, if it fits 467 in the guidelines, and I'm going to move very quickly to have an adjudication agreement approved without taking a fighter or the athletic commission through any more wasted time or money. So Connor didn't get treated any different today than if you watched the last 4 or 5 adjudication agreements that came before. They've been handled exactly the same.
At the previous hearing, you seem to disagree with the hefty $150,000 fine. Did you have any problem with other commissioners of getting them to come over to your side on that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think that today, I'm equally responsible. I voted for that final motion back in October. So, I think, like I said, in time, there's. I can honestly tell you, I've walked out of this commission room during my tenure many times and said that was exactly the right medicine. We did exactly what we should have done. And there's a few times where I walked out and said I think we went a little too far, even though I was a participant in it. And I think that some self-reflection at times is not bad. So this all kind of came together 3 or 4 months later after there was some time to think about it. And I did disagree with the $150,000. I thought it was too heavy, even though I voted for it as it got kind of bifurcated, because it wasn't really $150,000. It was $75,000 of cash, and it was $75,000 of some way of accounting for a public service announcement, which nobody was really clear on how to do. And that was the gray area for me. So that's why I think it was, on top of that, it was better to bring it back into the room.
How much of a learning experience is that going forward for you guys to have some clarity on things like that? I think everybody left last time saying $75,000 in production costs or distribution costs or whatever that is. What does that even mean? So how important is it for you guys to have clarity on punishments going forward on that?
You know, sometimes motions take a life of their own in these rooms, and it's in the moment, and you
are not necessarily thinking about all of the aftermath or the repercussions that happen from emotion. That's why I said some time to reflect sometimes is not a bad thing. This commission's come back a couple times after reflecting and said, you know what, this is probably too far. We weren't thinking about this. And I don't think it's a bad thing for us to be able to admit when we've gone too far. But we're human too. I think that this was the right outcome, and I think everybody agrees with that.
The cash portion went from $75,000 to $25,000. Why was that reduced?
Well, that was the original recommendation of the Attorney General, and if you go out and look in all of sports for things that get thrown, the fines are not very high for whatever reason. And I think that we didn't have any precedent to go on here. We had nowhere to go with this. We had no. Usually when somebody comes before us with a doping violation, we have a lot of precedent for that. We know exactly where to go. Our regs are very clear, both in time and money, for specific substances, for if it's an initial instance or if it's repeat. The regs really are kind of drive the motion. Throwing a monster can and a water bottle at a press conference, that's a first. So, you know, we started sitting back and said, okay, is $75,000 appropriate for throwing a water bottle? You know, and I think that's where a lot of the thoughts came from, and maybe that even that is too far. 150 I thought was definitely too far, and I think the 75 was too far. So I think 25 is a fair number for what was done. I mean, somebody could have gotten really hurt outside of the fighters. So, you know, I think you got to take that into consideration too. I still can't tell you if there's no science to this. You know, it's an art. So there's no, yeah. $25,000 for throwing a water bottle. Certainly. I don't know.
No, $10,000 for a cocaine, yeah, and $25,000 exactly. For water.
Moving forward, this might be a better question for Executive Director Bennett, but I mean, now that you guys have this settled, the next order, I guess, that he's trying to get is the boxing license. Has there been any type of discussion with this?
Well, he now has an agreement that he has agreed to. He has a settlement agreement he's agreed to, so he needs to drop his legal action that he was talking about taking. He needs to pay his fine and pay the attorney, and then he would be eligible for a boxing license. You know, that could happen today, and it could happen whenever it happens. So, but from this point forward, I just signed that before I came and talked to all of you. So as long as he does what he's agreed to, he's probably going to get a boxing license.
So to get a license, can you still also complete the community service or just pay?
We would still issue him, I believe, the license as long as the fine is paid. I have a lot of faith that he'll do the community service and he'll do it well based on my discussion with him. So that's something that we will manage between the fighter and the athletic commission. But as far as the state statute's concerned, I have to have a fine paid.
When you sat down with Connor, did you discuss in particular the boxing license?
No, we really stayed focused on his last adjudication and the dollar amounts and how he felt about it, and you know, and he was very professional. It was a great meeting with him. I mean, he was a lot of times these fighters are completely different people than you see in the public. Most of the time they are, so it's good to not have these conversations sometimes in public and really get down to what the fighter's thinking, where they're at, what they want to do. Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that's out there. Everybody's talking about him boxing, but we didn't get into that.
Because he also mentioned he didn't want to fight in Las Vegas again after the last hearing.
You know, he can fight wherever he wants and wherever his promoter wants to fight him. So our door's always open. We'd love to have him in Nevada, but if he chooses to fight elsewhere, those are his decisions.
Is there anything you could say to the casual UFC fan watching at home who speculates that this reduction of the fine is related to that comment? The fact that he may never fight in Las Vegas again? I mean, what do you say to the people who think, oh, they're just lowering the fine because they want him to fight here?
You know, I think everybody out there is going to think what they want. You know, I can tell you this as the athletic chairman and a commissioner, I've never read your press because I don't really care. I try to do what's right. And I've had a lot of discussions, and I put my head on the pillow at night knowing I'm trying to do what's right.
But how much stock do you put into something like that, knowing that he is someone different in front of a camera than he is, say, meeting with you?
Well, time will tell. You know, we still have the authority and the power over his license and the ability to fight in the state of Nevada. You know, and I do agree with Dana that Connor can fight anywhere he wants in the world. But at the end of the day, this is Nevada and this is Las Vegas. And every fighter needs to fight in Las Vegas. There's not many fighters that have made a huge career and not come through this town. So, like I said, he can fight wherever he wants, wherever he feels is appropriate to fight for his career and for his promoter and for his purse and for his wallet and his well-being. But I believe in time, all fighters will find their way to Las Vegas. So, and I think he wants to fight in Las Vegas. You know, my conversations with him, I think he was upset. I think he was emotional. I think he said some things that maybe he didn't either want to say or regretted saying. You know, you can ask him that. But he's got a multi-million dollar home here. He's here a lot. I think he's made a lot of investment here. And his promotion that he's currently under contract in has made a huge investment to fight here at T-Mobile. So, again, he could go fight in New York. That's very possible. But we'll just see. Let time tell. But I really don't think a $50,000 reduction in his fine is going to make a decision on him doing a $400-500 million mega fight in boxing and where it's going to happen. That wouldn't be a really smart business decision. He'll probably fight wherever they can make the most amount of money. That's usually what this comes down to.
I know Cormier and Jones did their community service back home. Does Conor have to be here? Is it going to be where?
No, he can do it in Dublin. And that was, I think that was pretty clear to me today. It's, the executive director does an excellent job of monitoring these fighters and what they do and making sure that it happens, whether it's documentation, affidavits, sometimes videos, so we know what they're doing. And I think he'll be all over that. And I think Conor knows we'll hold him to that.
And once a boxer is licensed, can they... Are they licensed to box anybody professionally, or would it have to be specifically sanctioned to be McGregor-Mayweather?
The bout will still have to be approved. You know, just to have the boxing license is one thing, but there still would need to be an approval of a date. They would need to run. They would need to go through all of the same processes that any other event does to have the card approved and have the bouts approved. And, you know, I can't tell you that we would approve that fight or not. I think that we, you know, I would lean to the fact that we most likely would. But we would probably want to go watch McGregor in a little bit of a boxing environment. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue. You got one of the best, you have the best boxer probably of all time against one of the best strikers in the UFC. And if that does happen, I mean, we're just speculating now, but, you know, I think it'd be hard to not approve that fight. So,
how soon do you look to go back and look at the Nate Diaz situation? And what can this mean for him possibly?
We're going to reach out to Nate and let him know that what's fair is fair. And he has an opportunity to come back before us if he'd like to. And we'll make that as painless and as cheap as possible to get, I think that what you heard Attorney General Bateman talk about today was not a percentage of the purse, but a fine that's equivalent and equal for the action taken. So if we were to do that, then you could speculate right now that the commission would probably have some sort of reduction, some sort of refund coming back to Nate.
Okay, that was a question. Yeah, I mean, you said he paid already.
Yeah, he did. He didn't have any, you know, there was... His was done and done. He was heard, done, finished, check got sent in, and, you know, over. So we do have a refund process if we did rehear it. I just want to make sure my number one goal is fairness. And I don't want to sometimes we've gotten out, and I think, to the earlier question, the public might see us getting really lopsided on some of these things. And I'm really trying to bring that in and keep it on the rail and make sure that it's fair for all the fighters. And if we do something for one like we did today, we need to be fair to the other.
Yabooga!
Talked about how apologetic Conor McGregor has been throughout this whole situation. What's been your impression talking to him? What's he like on the phone? Because obviously we didn't get to hear from him today.
As I mentioned earlier today, what took place on October 10th, he was extremely apologetic, apologized profusely, not only to the commission, but to the fans, to his fellow fighters. And I thought he was very honest and forthright, and there was no agreement in place. And as I stated earlier today, he left the decision up to the commission. And our subsequent meeting that was chaired by the chairman, Marnell, I thought was outstanding. That we came together, we sat down, we had a mutually beneficial conversation. We got an appreciation of what his concerns and interests were. And he clearly understood what our interests and concerns are as the fight capital of the world. And it was very productive, very cordial, very productive, very professional. So I believe it was a win-win situation, and it was led by the chairman.
What steps do you think Mr. McGregor is going to have to take to, and I don't want to be condescending at all, to make his, I guess, apology or community service kind of make an impact on the Children Against Bullying, given his... charismatic persona?
You know, he's very charismatic. He's a phenomenal fighter. He's great with the media. He's got phenomenal communication skills as well as fighting skills. So for him to sit down with kids, considering his background and, you know, went from, you know, a rough childhood from what I understand to to stardom, he's got a litany of things that he can talk to about the kids that are growing up and that he can share with them so that they can move in the right direction in life and have a productive future. So I think he can have a tremendous impact on the children he speaks to and wherever he decides to speak to them.
Were you present with the meeting with him when he came into town?
Yes, I was.
And what was your impression?
As I previously stated, it was spearheaded by the chairman. His counsel was present. His manager was present, Connor, myself. And I guess the best way to put it, it was mutually beneficial. It was a win-win situation. And all parties got to articulate their concerns and what he can expect from the Nevada State Athletic Commission as the fight capital of the world. And, you know, we realized what his concerns were, and that's why, excuse me, the chairman was willing to go ahead and allow his attorney to provide a rehearing and then a motion for reconsideration. So I think actually it's a great day for the commission, and it's a great move by the chairman to show that we are customer service oriented. We run a business, we're in the fight business, and we take a lot of pride in what we do, and we want to make sure that the fighters know when they come here, they're going to be treated respectfully, fairly, and they don't need to worry the end result of the fight. They're going to have great officiating. It's a great city for fights, and it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Did he reach out to you, or did you reach out to him for the meeting?
No, they reached out to the chairman. They reached out, to our chief deputy attorney general, Bryn Gibson. And then, of course, the attorneys got together first, and then the chairman asked me to join him in the meeting, and I was more than happy to do so.
Did you feel like Connor was happy with the outcome?
Yes, it was a great meeting. He's got a good sense of humor. Everybody put their cards on the table, so to speak. We were very candid with one another, and as I stated before, it was mutually beneficial, and I think that's what it's all about. Today was a great day for our commission. The chairman articulated it very clearly to you earlier about what we're trying to do. We're trying to be fair and reasonably firm and to be consistent. And, for the fighters that represent themselves in a noteworthy fashion, we always like to recognize them too. And for the ones that don't, well, you know, then we have to deal with them, but we want to deal with them fairly and equitably. And move forward, because in the past, nobody's 100%. In the past, some of our probably decisions could be interpreted as being too conservative, TOO. But like anything else, the longer you're on the job, the better you do.
Looking back to that night and talking to Connor, what's your impression on what actually happened that night? Did he lose his cool? Was he just going over the top with the promotion side of fighting?
I'm not sure what you mean by the night.
The day of the water bottle incident.
Well, the water bottle incident has to speak for itself. I can't speak to that. What you saw in the video, obviously, both parties acted in the manner in which they did, which was unprofessional. Both of them were provoked. And they took actions that were not indicative of what you would expect from elite fighters fighting in the fight capital of the world. And, it was unfortunate that it came to that, but hopefully this is a learning situation for everybody. So when they come here, it's okay to have a little bit of a rough press conference. Dana always gets in the middle of it, or a boxing promoter, but we don't want it to go over the top where, someone in the media or the public could get hurt.
So I guess
that's really what our issues, our concerns are.
So I guess my question is, in talking to him, did he ever make any sort of excuse for what happened or any explanation what was going on?
No, he didn't make any excuses. He, as I stated earlier, he was very apologetic and explained himself clearly and concisely, and he brought some good points out. And if you'd want further comments, those are statements you'd have to get for Connor. I wouldn't want to speak on Connor's behalf. Otherwise, he and I might have to,
There was a legal action taken by his side. Do you know if, as part of this, that was dropped, or was that even discussed as part of the negotiation?
No, that wasn't, in our meeting, that wasn't discussed. about his legal options to go to district court. That was not the purpose of the meeting. The purpose of the meeting was to share each side's positions and what he can expect from us and what we expect from him, which is pretty much all the fighters. So whatever direction he wanted to go, should it be district court or whatever, was not an issue, or nor was it discussed during our meeting with him and his attorney and his manager.
I know you probably don't want to deal too much in hypotheticals, but if someone had been hurt, do you think this plays out differently from your guys' perspective?
Yeah, I think you answered that question yourself, Adam. I don't deal in hypotheticals, and you know, you can figure that out for yourself, with all due respect.
No problem.
You know.
Obviously, he wanted to get this settled anyways, because Vegas is the fight capital of the world, but how much do you think the possible Mayweather fight coming up kind of sped this process up of him wanting to get this thing settled?
I don't think the Mayweather fight had anything to do with it when we sat down and we met. They're completely two separate issues. Those fights have to be approved. It wasn't an issue that we were even looking at. We wanted to resolve the pending litigation that he had so that it was a win-win situation. And as the chairman clearly stated, there were concerns that he felt, as did I, with the $75,000 fine and the $75,000 anti-bullying presentation, that it wasn't really clear, and there was too much gray matter in there, and it just felt a little uncomfortable. And so we thought, once they reached out, we were happy to speak to him to make sure that all the questions were answered, and it was a constructive conversation, a meaningful conversation. And more importantly, I hope all the other fighters learn from it. You know, this is just not an isolated situation. It's one we want to avoid in the future.
Connor will be back in Las Vegas to fight again?
Well, I certainly hope he is. That obviously is his prerogative. That's something to deal with his promoter. But, you know, our doors are open for business, and we'd love to have Connor fight here, just like we do all the elite fighters and the fighters that are working their way up. Who doesn't want to fight in Las Vegas?
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Cole Coffey reporting live from Las Vegas. Wait, not really live, but reporting from Las Vegas. All right, let's just pull the whole curtain back. I have no idea what he said. It's Thursday night here in Los Angeles. I'm going to send this audio off to Cole Coffey. And if I'm being honest with you, I have no idea. What you just listened to, I will listen to for the first time when this episode airs. That's what's up. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. The MMA Roadshow family needs to know what's up. And if it sucks, then I would like to just you guys to all hit up Cold Coffee, Ken S. Hathaway on Twitter, and tell him, like, bro, you just didn't deliver. Now, if he crushes it, then hit him up and be like, bro, John Morgan was right to have faith in you. So yeah, I have no idea how that's gonna pan out. So all right, listen. Tomorrow, more meetings with USA Today. Our bosses. For those of you that don't know, Dan Stupp started MMA Junkie back in 2006, five, somewhere around there. I joined right after. I was the first employee that was hired. And then along the way, we picked up Steven Morocco, Matt Erickson, Ben Folks, and the staff continued to build and build and build to the incredible team that we have today. And then in 2011, USA Today bought us, and we are under the USA Today Sports umbrella. And we are here meeting with our bosses, looking to change some things, fix some things. Them autoplay videos, I know you hate them. We're trying to figure something out about that, right? It helps pay the bills, I'm not going to lie. We're trying to figure some stuff about that. App issues. I know there's some app issues. We're trying to fix those too. And we're trying to come up with some new things. We got some good stuff in the works, man. We really do. We got some good stuff in the works. If you guys ever have any feedback, man, please do not be afraid to hit me up. I would love to hear from you. I love to hear from the real fans. I love to hear from the family, the MMA Roadshow family, about what we can do better, what we can change. Like, seriously, if we can fix something, man, let me know. Because we do get emails, by the way. We do get emails because there's – I mean, you can just email, like, the general support email address. But basically, and those emails all come to me. Not just to me, but they come to our whole staff. But generally, there's something along the lines of this. And only if only I had cold copy here to help me out. Because it's usually something like, hey, you fucking wanker. You fucking suck. Your website sucks. Your ads suck. And I'm never visiting your shit again. F off. And it's like, I just worked 14 hours in a row to try to put content out here. And I thought you guys would like it. And I'm sorry. So we get to hear from all those people. But if you're one of those people that has something like slightly more educational, please don't ever hesitate, man. Hit me up, email. It's pretty easy to figure out. It's, yeah, hit me up at email, Twitter. Dude, my phone number's out there. You can WhatsApp me. You can text me. I don't care. Find me on Facebook. I don't care, man. Just hit me up wherever. Tell me what's up. All right, listen, I'm not going to keep you much longer this evening. I took some time off. I'm not going to lie. Is that okay? I took a couple days off. I worked on my 39th birthday, damn it, last week. And now I took a little time off. I missed some headlines. I hooked back up with my wife and son, and it's awesome. And so, yeah, it's been a busy couple days for me. So I apologize in advance if I didn't bring the goods for you tonight. I always want to bring them. I didn't want to mail it in, so I hope I brought a little bit of the goods, just a touch of the goods. But I promise we'll swing it all back together next week. Cold Coffee and I will be back together in Las Vegas. Bellator 175 is next week. We will not be traveling. The man Matt Erickson will be out there, but we'll be there. We'll be together. Me and Cold Coffee will be together for the first time in like a damn month. And we'll get all reconvened on things. So, yeah, that's what's happening. Big things happening in Los Angeles. Hopefully you guys will see the results of that over the next few weeks and months. Chime in if there's anything you want to see, because I'm not lying. You may hit me up with a tweet while I'm sitting in a business meeting with the guys in our organization that can make this shit happen. So if you got some great ideas, please send them my way. And if you don't mind that I can just pretend like they're mine, because like they're my bosses and like maybe it'll help me make some more money or something like that, or at least look smarter. But then like me and you, like, we'll always look at each other and I'll always like, bro, you know that was you. You know that was you. And then if that's your idea, then when we get together, of course I'll buy you a beer, because I'll be like, dude, that was your idea, and like I got a raise for this. But like technically this money is kind of your money, but I can't actually give it to you, because then I have to explain to my wife like why I'm writing a check to another man, and that would seem like weird, especially for the amount of money we're talking about. I'm sure that my wife probably wouldn't buy into the explanation that was simply an idea that you passed on to me on Twitter that I've passed on to a business meeting. So I mean, at the end of the day, it would all be awkward for all of us. But what we would do is I would buy you a cocktail. We would talk about some MMA. In your heart, you would know it was you. I would know it was you. You would know. And we would always kind of know, like, bro, that was kind of your thing. And you could always tell your boys that was your thing. And you could even have your boys hit me up. And I'd be like, of course that was your boy's thing, dude. Of course that was his deal. You know what I'm saying? But, like, for my employers, it would kind of always be my thing. So as long as that's cool with you, man, please hit me up. And if none of that applies to any of you, but you're still here anyway, let me just say, and I mean it, thanks for listening.